news, information, opinions, history, and most importantly, always real. This is Rant EM Radio.
Wrestling for your entertainment, never the other way around. This is episode number 7 of the Rexplex, just 3 shows short of the huge 10th episode anniversary event blowout party. And you can follow us on Twitter at the Rexplex, like us on Facebook, join the group page for some fun discussion. Just search the Rexplex on Facebook and you will find us. You can email me at therexplex@gmail.com. I am always down to answer any questions. Take hate mail if you must. Answer your duck calls. Anything is always welcome. Just send something on over to therexplex@gmail.com and it will be addressed on this show if you would like. You can listen to this program on rantemradio.com Thursdays at 7 Eastern Standard Time. You can normally listen to The Rant every Tuesday at 8, but The Rant will be taking a much-deserved vacation. Double A, one of the hardest-working men in this business, and that is the truth. The man deserves a vacation. If you did not hear Tuesday's episode, I highly recommend you go back and check that out. We have Turnbuckle Throwbacks 9 p.m. Wednesday with Phil Rea and Dave. Mega Powers, the Wrestling Call-In Show, live at 11 p.m. with William Morgan. On Sundays, you've got the What Are You Reading comic book show with Surfer and Jordan Cobb at 5 p.m. Right after this fine program, every Thursday night at 9 p.m., you have Rant in Wrestling, which is an awesome show. Glad to have that on the group. Rant in Wrestling is a part of the family. It's nice, nice to have them on. And we've got some special stuff coming up. I'm looking so much forward to this. Turnbuckle Throwbacks, episode number 100, live tomorrow, Friday, December 19th at 9 p.m. Phil and Dave will... I've been listening to this show, the Turnbuckle Throwbacks, since very early on. It's actually one of my favorites. December 19th, that's tomorrow, at 9 p.m. These guys will also be doing New Japan Wrestle Kingdom 9 live pre-show. And you can listen to all of this on Stitcher. Just search Rant EM Radio. Search Rant EM. You'll see the Rant EM logo. Click on it. Add it to your favorites. Get all of the shows at your convenience. If you prefer, you can listen live on the TuneIn Radio app or the stream, the rotation on the TuneIn app. And as I was saying about Wrestle Kingdom, I'm looking very much forward to, we now know the commentary team will be Jim Ross and Matt Stryker. They will be calling the action for Wrestle Kingdom 9, which I am definitely going to watch. And all I could say to those people who have never really seen a New Japan show, give it a chance. It is something completely different than what you're used to, but just give it a chance, and if you learn the stories and the characters and understand who the guys are and what they're all about, you might like it. Others may not. It might not be for everyone, but I'm definitely going to watch it, and I'm sure I will enjoy it. And I will be running down the card of that show very soon, as the card it has been released, but I have so much to get to in this episode. So, how's everybody been doing? I know I can't hear your responses, but you can sure leave a response in the chat, as I am in there. currently. I have had a tumultuous week, a crazy Sunday. I'm sure most of you know that, but I'm doing great. A few episodes ago, commented that I was very upset that I could not get tickets to see my favorite band to see live, positive, uplifting group, 311. I did procure those tickets to their special show, secret show in New Orleans, House of Blues, on Sunday. And the next day, I will be going to Monday Night Raw, where they are advertising Brock Lesnar to be there. So I'm going to get a kick-ass concert and probably an okay Raw. But you know me, be optimistic, be positive, hope for the best. Let's see what we have to get into. That's going to be a blast. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a great, fun 2 days. And of course, I'm going to give you full coverage of everything I go and see. And I will also see if I can get some words with a few people. Or I might just do a live show from Raw, from the building. So let's get into the news. This might be the only CM Punk news I will talk about on tonight's program, episode. Whichever you would like to call it, this is the Rexplex, and I am Rex Watson when it all comes down to it. CM Punk, after he had his first comic book gig with the Thor Annual Number 1, he has landed another comic book deal for DC Comics, as he will write for Strange Sports Stories, and that is due out in March. For those that don't know, Strange Sports Stories is an old series that was printed in the 60s and 70s, and it looks like DC Comics will have Punk revive this, as he will be writing a story for the series. And some Ultimate Warrior news, WWE will be releasing a book celebrating the life and career of the Ultimate Warrior, and that is scheduled to come out 9/15/15. The book is titled Ultimate Warrior, A Life Lived Forever, The Legend of a WWE Hero. So we should all look forward to that. And more book news while we're on the subject. Daniel Bryan has a book coming out that will be released 7/28/2015 in hardcover and audiobook form, but that is all the information I have on that. So, something to look forward to on Raw next week. WWE has made the announcement that Hulk Hogan will be on Raw. He was shown in a Santa outfit and was billed as Hogan. So, look forward to seeing Hogan on next week Raw, which will be a Christmas-themed Raw. In booty news, Rikishi recently put out a video saying that he really needs to see the Mayweather vs. Pacquiao fight happen, which will probably never happen because Mayweather is afraid of that fight. But also in the video, Rikishi called out Kim Kardashian. He challenged her to a booty contest, saying that he has the better booty. I doubt this will ever happen, and I do not know the rules to a booty contest, but I hope they can have this at the Rumble, Kim Kardashian versus Rikishi in a booty match. I don't think that will happen, though. I saw my buddy, one half of the AIW Tag Team Champions, Jimmy Jacobs, on Raw and SmackDown. He is one half of the AIW Tag Champions and a current ROH star. Also part of the Robots. Former TNA Knockout Taylor Hendricks was also a part of the Rosebuds on Raw and SmackDown. And some Ring of Honor news, they have announced that Alberto El Patron, formerly Alberto Del Rio in WWE, will be facing the Fallen Angel, Christopher Daniels. Daniels, call him what would you like, but it will be Alberto Del Rio's ROH debut at the January 3rd, 2015 TV tapings in Nashville, Tennessee. I was very skeptical about how Del Rio would do in ROH, but I'm pretty much positive that there's a lot of things that we have not seen yet from Del Rio that he will be allowed to do in ROH, as WWE likes to take people and tone them down, and ROH likes to have people and have them turn it up a notch. Looks like today's show will be a lot of coverage of all the different events that happened. I had to pick certain ones, skip over others. Since I did not get to this, I will start off with ROH's Final Battle pay-per-view that happened, which I suggest everyone give ROH a chance. Check it out. Just like I said about New Japan, it might be for everyone. It might not be for everybody, but I'm definitely sure that some people will enjoy it. This pay-per-view opened up. This was a real pay-per-view as well. No iPay-per-view. Their second pay-per-view in New York City from Station 5. I don't have all the notes in front of me. This was a very interesting venue. Three layers of balconies. Normally for a lot of rock concerts or DJs and big parties. It was a very different look for where ROH would normally have their shows, a different style of venue. But I liked the atmosphere. What I heard from a lot of fans who attended the show, they were upset that they didn't know that the general admission, the lower price general admission tickets, were literally standing room only, meaning you had to stand. And it was basically because of the venue. The opening contest was a four-corner survival match with Mark Briscoe versus Hansen versus Caprice Coleman versus the aforementioned Jimmy Jacobs. This was a really good opening match. I don't think they could have picked a better opening match. It was a lot of nonstop action. Didn't really give a lot of time to breathe, as after one man would connect with a huge move, there would be a counter. It broke down to a lot of near falls, and Hansen hit the spin kick of doom on Caprice Coleman, getting the victory. Now, this guy Hansen, I saw him at Supercard of Honor here in New Orleans in a three-way tag team match for the number one contenderships, and they didn't win the match, but Hansen in person is gargantuan. He is a huge, huge, hairy man, and he is agile at that. He looks like a giant Viking, but he has been on a roll lately, also picking up wins at Survival of the Fittest and losing in the finals of Survival of the Fittest to the person who we would later see in the event I'm currently talking about. That is Adam Cole to take on Jake Briscoe. The next match, we had Roderick Strong against Adam Page. This was basically Page's time to prove that he belongs in the decade with BJ Whitmer, Jimmy Jacobs, and Roderick Strong. The build-up to this was kind of odd. It didn't really catch my interest too much. Page really did well. He had more aggression, more fire, and I think that was the whole point of this match. Strong kept putting Page in the stronghold, which is his variation of the camel clutch. Much different than the accolade. It all looks the same. What happened was Page passed out as Jimmy Jacobs and Whitmer screamed for him to not tap, to not tap. Page passed out from the pain, and your winner was Roderick Strong. After the match, Whitmer got into it with Steve Corino. Corino jumped up and looked like he was ready to fight. And we'll have to see if this will develop into a story, which I'm pretty sure it will, with Steve Corino getting back into the ring eventually. And this was a pretty good match for what it was, but the build-up was not as intriguing or interesting as it could have been. And the next match, we had ROH's two problem children going head-to-head, Michael Elgin and Tommaso Ciampa. There was a lot of hard-hitting, fast striking back and forth. There was an odd ref bump where the referee took a clothesline from Tommaso Ciampa, which was clearly inadvertent. Ciampa did not intentionally hit the referee. This was the part of the match I did not like, as authority figure Nigel McGuinness, who was at the announce position, rose, looked conflicted, and ran to the back as he debated whether or not he should fire Ciampa for striking the referee. Because, as I said, Elgin's the problem child because of his issues that we talked about previously on this show with the border issues and also losing to Mr. Trevor Lee in Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. And there's a lot of issues with both these guys. Sicilian Psychopath Ciampa has a history of attacking ringside personnel and officials, and so McGuinness put a zero tolerance policy on him. Ciampa was so confused after this, Elgin hit him with a variation of a DDT, which is a new finisher from Elgin, and Elgin took the win with that DDT, and he is now in title contention, as the commentators said, in Ring of Honor, but I do not see Elgin getting the title anytime soon in the future. The next match, the Young Bucks and ACH took on the Addiction of Christopher Daniels and Kazarian, along with Cedric Alexander. There was no real reason or setup for this match, but there were no breaks, no pauses. It was non-stop action, beautiful spots throughout the whole match. The finish came when the Bucks hit the Meltzer Driver, which is a assisted 450 spike tombstone pile driver. After Alexander was down, ACH hit the top rope with a 450 to finish him off. The crowd went nuts for this. This was actually my favorite. That's my top three. It's possibly my second favorite, or if not my favorite match of the night. I love a lot of high spots. Pardon me, but only done in moderation. Only in moderation. Next match, worst match of the night. R.D. Evans, who had the streak that was broken by television champion Jay Lethal, going against former football star Moose with Stokely Hathaway. There was a lot of whatever in this match. The story behind the match was good. The match itself was not good. Basically, what had happened previously, Moose had turned on R.D. Evans, who was his former partner. Veda Scott, who is had been supporting Evans, came out and pleaded for Moose to stop the beating, to stop beating Evans down, but right before giving Evans a low blow, allowing Moose to get the victory. Thing is, Moose is still very new to being in the ring. I saw him in a match at Evolve during WrestleMania weekend, and it was pretty much him squashing local talent, Kurt Matthews. But R.D. Evans almost slipped and fell several times. I'm not sure if this was done on purpose as a comedy spot or if it was a legit botch. This should have been a big angle, but it wasn't really. This was the worst match of the night. And a match that was not the worst match of the night. You had the ROH Television Championship match. The television champion Jay Lethal going head-to-head with Matt Sydal, formerly known as Evan Bourne. This was a very good match. Truth Martini tried to interfere. He threw the book into the ring, and Sydal super kicked the book of Truth, and it hit Martini right in the face. As Sydal went to the top to go for the shooting star press, he came down and Lethal caught him with an ace crusher, diamond cutter, RKO, whichever you would like to call it. Jay Lethal then hit the lethal injection, which is a handspring off the ropes into a cutter, or any of the other names that I had previously said, to finish off Sydal. This match was awesome. Started off kind of slow, but picked up. You had interference from Martini and big man on the outside, Jay Diesel. Sydal got very close to winning the title, but the numbers game was a little too much. This was a really good match. I liked this one. But so, yes, still champion, still television champion, Jay Lethal. He has held this title since Supercard of Honor, which was on the Friday before WrestleMania 30, which I was in attendance at. And he is still your television champion. For the ROH World Tag Team Championships, we had Red Dragon of Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish taking on the Time Splitters of Alex Shelley and Kushida. This was a task for both teams. This was an awesome match. I'm not sure really what stuck out for me so much. I have to go back and watch this. But this was also in the top three of one of the best matches of the night. It kicked ass. What happened was Kushida kicked out of the Chasing the Dragon finisher from Bobby Fish and O'Reilly, but was caught by O'Reilly and had no choice but to tap. Red Dragon retained their titles. This is probably the best match on the card. It's up there with the six-man tag team match. In your main event, you had a fight without honor for the ROH World Heavyweight Championship. Jay Briscoe taking on champion. Wait, no. Pardon me. Let me jump back. Jay Briscoe, the champion, defending against number one contender Adam Cole. This was a fight without honor. You had a lot of hand gestures. Then you had a staple gun brought into the match. I feel like I accidentally did this. I brought up staple guns being used, and I have been seeing them used often in the indie circuit over the past 2 weeks alone. Cole was stapling he was sticking staples in Briscoe's head. We had some table breaking, stairs, a lot of unprotected chair shots, which reminded me of their ladder match. It was also at the All-Star Extravaganza here in New Orleans, where there was about 18 unprotected hair shots. The Sabu throw the chair to the head spot that they continuously did. Cole filled Briscoe's mouth with thumbtacks and gave him a super kick, which a lot of people flipped out for. This move was actually done the first time in PWG during the tag team title match with the Young Bucks taking on Joey Ryan and Candice LeRae, which is actually, in my opinion, one of the best matches of the year. Or just interesting story. That was a very emotional and dramatic match, the tag team match with Candice and Joey against the Young Bucks. But this spot was taken from that match. We had tacks all over the ring. We had Jay Briscoe hitting a J-driver, leading to a near fall, then hitting a second J-driver on the ROH title with thumbtacks all over the place. And that got Briscoe the 1-2-3. Your winner and still ROH champion, Jay Briscoe. And from my understanding, Adam Cole was going to win this match, but would not be able to represent ROH properly, in his opinion, as the ROH champion, due to a nagging shoulder injury, and also his plans to return to Japan. Now, I'm not sure how much validity there is to all of this, but Cole did release an official statement saying his presence will be felt at ROH shows in the future, but he has to get over this shoulder injury first. And that was your rundown, run-through, and results of ROH's final battle. Pretty damn good show, I would say. I enjoyed it. If I would tell anyone specific matches to check out, it would definitely be the Young Bucks and ACH against The Addiction and Cedric Alexander, the tag team match with the Time Splitters against Red Dragon, and the main event of Adam Cole taking on Jay Briscoe. Let's move on from that to NXT TakeOver, our evolution, as I'm going to go in order down all the events that happened and the shows and give you pretty much my quick thoughts and also the results, because I have a few things to talk about, a few events, And then after I talk about all these and tell you the results, we will have Rage on to go more in depth in discussion about the things that went down and about some other things that are just going on in the world. And you also will have, I will announce who won, pick the original song about a wrestler this week, and you will also get that song, time permitting. So let's get right into it. NXT TakeOver Our Evolution was on the WWE Network a week ago, this past Thursday. During the pre-show, Corey Graves appears with the commentary crew. He announces his in-ring retirement and told us that he would be doing commentary for NXT. He was awarded a 2-year deal by Triple H. He appeared choked up and emotional. But you can't blame the guy. You gotta be emotional and choked up to when wrestling is what you love and it's all you know that you have to step away from the ring. And emotion would continue to be a theme of this show as the night went on. As the actual show opened up, the first match we got was Kevin Owens, who was formerly known as Kevin Steen. He's been one of my favorites on the indie scene for years. He has so many years under his belt. He started wrestling around 15 or 16 in Canada, and he was a standout. During that time, he met El Generico, and they had some great matches in Canada when they were a lot younger, and they took that to the States, but I'm sidetracking right now. The first match was Kevin Owens against CJ Parker. Owens got the offense early in the corner. He hit the running cannonball, which is a move I like to do when I'm drunk and I have a sofa with an edge. I like to run and just do a flip into it. It's great fun. Owens hit an impressive somersault plancha on the floor. A little bit later, CJ Parker connected with a vicious palm strike. And this seemed kind of intentional. I don't know why you would hit someone this damn hard in a wrestling match. But yeah, connected with that palm strike. Busted open Kevin Owens, and apparently messed up his own hand pretty bad in the process. This added to the match because you got to see how vicious he is, like as if the blood only pumped Owens up more. Owens hit the pump handle neck cracker, which I thought was going to be his finish, and I know this is the name of that move because that is what he calls it. Owens then whipped Parker into the ropes and won with the pop-up powerbomb. A very emotional debut for Kevin Owens. It's great to see him on WWE programming. Bloody man. Great match. Good to see him. In the second match, the NXT Tag Team Championships, the Lucha Dragons, defended their Tag Team Championships against the Vaude Villains. All I found interesting about this match, mostly, it took a step down for me, the pace, the energy. The dive to the outside from the Dragons with Aiden English shoving Gotch out of the way was interesting. Back in the ring, Kalisto hits the Salida del Sol for the win, and the Lucha Dragons retain the NXT Tag Team Championships. The next match, Baron Corbin squash Ty Dillinger with the fans counting. I don't know how I feel about the fans counting thing. It's kind of odd. I don't know how long it's going to last. But what they're doing here is they're doing a slow setup for a Corbin and Bull Dempsey match. That's what it appears. And I believe we will possibly see that at the next NXT special. And that's one thing I'm liking about NXT is they take their times with building up these storylines. I think they're doing story. They're writing and the storylines and creative is a lot better than the main product. But we'll get more to that. You'll get a lot more on that later, possibly. You had the Ascension take on Hideo Itami and Finn Balor. Finn Balor doing an incredible entrance, a superstar style entrance. You could tell this man is a superstar, as he has been and is all around the world, and now he gets to show it on the biggest stage of them all, which is not NXT, WWE, but he is signed to WWE. You know what I'm talking about. I'm rambling on about complete nonsense. Hideo went for the GTS, which was a move that he created that was taken from him by CM Punk. The crowd went nuts. I love this part, teasing the fans like that. With the double foot stomps, Finn Balor and Atami win the match. This was a really good match, and it highlighted Finn Balor a little bit more and kind of maybe outshined or overtook some of the things that Atami did. The crowd chanting Atami seemed a little off with the pacing of their chant. Then we see Roman Reigns backstage. They ask, why are you here? And he says, why wouldn't I be here? He says he won the Superstar of the Year, and that's what takes the cake, and he's here to see an awesome main event because Zayn and Neville are the future, which Reigns goes into saying, speaking of the future, I'm going to be the first NXT alum to become the WWE World Heavyweight Champion. That is, if he doesn't count Daniel Bryan when NXT was more of a competition show. But that's neither here or there. You can debate that all you want. And an awesome women's match for the NXT Women's Championship. Sasha Banks versus Charlotte. There's mixed ideas on whether or not this was better than Charlotte against Natalya. I think Sasha Banks against Charlotte was better, mainly because they didn't need anyone else out there. No distractions, no Flair and Bret Hart. And these are also two NXT originals, so there was more importance in this match. I like the spot where Charlotte went for the moonsault, landed on her feet, and then hit the senton. I found that interesting. And I thought that was a pretty cool spot. The main event, Sami Zayn taking on Adrian Neville for the NXT Championship. This was an awesome match. Great spots all over the place. And the winner of this match and new NXT Champion, Sami Zayn. As Sami celebrates his win and the locker room comes out to greet him, first comes out Kevin Owens. We also see former Sami Callihan, not Sally Callihan. She was not there. Sami Callihan, however, was, who will be known as Solomon Crowe. He was there in the ring, as well as a lot of other members of the roster. It was kind of odd to see Tyler Breeze out there, being that he and Sami had just gotten over their huge feud. One thing I forgot to mention is, after Sami is being congratulated by everyone, he asks Neville for a handshake. And I really like this little addition to the story, as Neville kicked away Sami Zayn's hand and instead hugged him. The roster pretty much came to the ring and hoisted Sami Zayn up on their shoulders and carried him around. After some time of congratulations, the ring empties. Sami goes to walk out. Owens comes back. Looks like he's going to give his best friend, the guy who he's been all around the world with, has put on classic matches, whether they had gone against each other or as a tag team. They have some great matches. Sami Zayn and Owens, as Generico and Steen taking on Claudio Castagnoli and Chris Hero. Claudio Castagnoli is now Cesaro. That was in Ring of Honor, and it was an awesome match. They had a great ladder match in PWG at Steen Wolf, which I would definitely recommend someone or anyone to check out. And they also had a ladder match in ROH Final Battle 2 years ago, I believe it was. It was not as good as the PWG ladder match, but it was still very damn good. This was a kick-ass show. Well-structured, well-thought-out, and we'll get into more discussion when I get my guest on the line. The next show that I watched was CZW Cage of Death, and if you ordered this on iPay-Per-View, I feel sorry for you, because there was so many streaming issues going on with this thing. The second I turned on the stream, it was skipping. It said the show would begin in 25 minutes, and it said 11 minutes, and it jumped back up to 18 minutes. There was a lot of skipping, and weird, so many streaming issues. And I talked to people who were working on that, and they said it was due to the capacity of the building. They had no problem last year, and they were in the same building, and they had just as many people in the audience, if not more. But let's get into the matches. DJ Hyde, owner of CZW, took on Chris Dickinson in a match where they brawled all over the arena, all over the skate zone, which is where they were, the Flyer skate zone in Voorhees, New Jersey. DJ Hyde has been holding down Chris Dickinson, even going as far as to taking him out of the title match in a match after a match where he earned a shot at the title match in a three-way that was supposed to happen a few months ago. This is getting confusing for you people, is it not? Chris Dickinson defeated DJ Hyde. He needed that victory. In the next match, we had Pepper Parks and Papa Don with Cherry Bomb defeating the Nation of Intoxication. The following match, we saw the Beaver Boys defeat Team Tremendous of Barry and his partner Bill Carr. And they were with Super Cop Dick Justice, who is quite the character. Things got pretty crazy during the match. Dick Justice jumped in the ring and pulled out a firearm on Johnny Silver, acted as if he was about to shoot him. But the Beaver Boys won this match, and after the match, they kidnapped Dick Justice. And the next match, we had the CZW Wire Championship on the line. This was a pretty good match. Joe Gacy has been chasing the Wire Championship for the better part of a year now. He started bleeding towards the end, and for some reason I got the feeling that he was definitely going to win. Joe Gacy defeated Shane Strickland to become the new CZW Wire Championship. Current AIW World Champion Tim Donst showed up, and he addressed the combat zone. He is world-traveled, and he announced his intentions to go into CZW and to go after the gold. In the next match, we had a Norman Smiley Memorial Bunkhouse Brawl Ultra-Violent Food Fight of Life and Death with Greg Excellent and his partner Sexy Eddie, with Mama Excellent and Christy Rivera defeating Matt Tremont and Bucks Belmar. This was a ridiculous match with food and weapons all over the place. I believe the spot that stood out to me the most was a brainbuster on a frozen turkey. Preacher Phineas James came out after this to address the combat zone, calling out Alex Colon, saying that, "Alex Colon, you injured me and you need to apologize that." Colon came out and he said, "I am sorry. I'm sorry, you're such a pussy, Phineas James." Colon put his hands on Phineas James' wife before the situation could get too chaotic or escalate further. Speedball Mike Bailey arrived and came to the aid of Preacher James. So look forward in the future to Colon and a Phineas James feud. We had a match where the winner would gain entry into the Best of the Best Tournament 14, which is one of my favorite tournaments of the year. We had David Starr versus Alex Colon versus A.R. Fox versus Caleb Connolly versus Jonathan Gresham, who won the match. Jonathan Gresham won the match, and he will gain entry into the Best of the Best 14 tournament. There was a stipulation, and that was that if David Starr did not win this match, he would not be able to be in the Best of the Best tournament. And he was pinned by Gresham, and he will not be in the Best of the Best tournament, but Gresham will. And I'm sure you can expect Colon, Mike Bailey, A.R. Fox, and Caleb Connolly to be in there, along with a lot of other good up-and-coming talent. A team who I'm good friends with, OI4K, Dave and Jake Chris, successfully defended the CZW Tag Team titles against the American Wolves. A lot of people said this was one of the best tag team matches of 2014. This was a really, really good match, a great match. The two teams showed mutual respect, shook hands. This was a damn good match. And in the main event, the Cage of Death match, we saw thin yellow steel wiring assembling the cage with steel barriers all over the cage, bags of weapons hanging from the ceiling, panes of glass were in the corner. This match was Sozio, the CZW champion, with the front, taking on Drew Gulak versus Black G's versus Biff Busick, all in the cage, four-man elimination style. Early in the match, we saw Drew Gulak put Biff Busick through a glass pane in the corner with a suplex, which was very odd. You have to take into account Drew Gulak and Biff Busick are two of the best technical wrestlers around today on the independent scene. I've seen them have a match in person, and it was incredible. A pure wrestling match that was fantastic. Biff Busick was the first one to get eliminated with help from the front. The second person to get eliminated was Drew Gulak. So we were then down to Black G's and Sozio. By this point, we had barbed wire chairs, light tubes, tacks, and of course, this weapon that keeps popping up for some freaking reason. The freaking staple gun, man. Keeps popping up. This was disgusting. I don't know how many times this Sozio attempted to staple sheets of paper and stickers and all sorts of different things to Black Jesus' forehead. The blood was just running, and the stuff wouldn't stay on his head. Several staples of that. This was hard to watch, man, really. All the staples of the head. A ladder made its way into the cage. Sozio climbed up that ladder to reveal what was in the final bag, and that was a weed whacker. Yes, a weed whacker. Black G's and Sozio fought it out for a few minutes until G's got the advantage, handcuffed Sozio to the cage. Black G's picked up the weed whacker and smashed and lacerated Sozio's chest, trying to get Sozio to tap. Something very, very vicious and visually disgusting were all the lacerations as Black Cheese continuously smashed the weed whacker into the chest and abdomen of Sozio, causing Sozio to pass out and lose the match to the most controversial wrestler in CZW, that is Black G's. So your winner of the Cage of Death 2014 and new CZW World Champion, Black G's. So all in all, this was a decent show. It was not as good as last year's Cage of Death. If you want some good wrestling with a little bit of blood and guts thrown in at the end, this is the show for you. And now I will get into the quick results of WWE's TLCS 2014. The pre-show started off with The New Day, Kofi Kingston, and Big E defeating Gold and Stardust with the Midnight Hour. As we got into the main show, we saw Dolph Ziggler capture the Intercontinental Championship, defeating Luke Harper in a bloody, brutal ladder match. As Double A called it, and I believe I agreed with him and saw exactly where he was coming from, this was definitely the best match of the night. There's no question about that. And a lot of people are complaining how they went into the show a little late and missed the best match of the night, since that was the opener. For the tag team titles, we had The Miz and Damian Sandow retain the tag team titles against the Usos via the DQ when The Miz used the slammy on one of the Usos. And I just throw in a little note, I think this whole Miz and Naomi with the Usos thing is dumb. And what should have been the match of the night, the Big Show defeated Eric Rowan in the first ever stairs match by putting the stairs on him and pinning him. This is crap. We had John Cena taking on Seth Rollins in the tables match. There was some shenanigans, some ref bumps in this. At one point, both Cena and Rollins went through the table. The Big Show came out to help Rollins, but guess who comes out to save the day? The future first NXT person to win the world title, Roman Reigns, helping Cena get the victory with the AA through the table. Nikki Bella retained the Divas title after she sprayed AJ in the eyes with hairspray type substance and hit the rack attack for the win. Roman Reigns is interviewed and he said he's the first competitor entered into this year's Rumble match. Believe that. I really hope he doesn't win the Royal Rumble match. In a chairs match, we had Ryback defeating Kane with the shell shock. Once again, Jack Swagger is defeated by Rusev by passing out to the accolade. This match was for the U.S. Championship. Your winner, Rusev, same way he beat him last time. And the final match of the night, Bray Wyatt defeated Dean Ambrose in the TLC match after a stupid flat screen cost Dean Ambrose the match because it exploded in his face and Bray Wyatt hit the Sister Abigail. Can we please have a match that doesn't end with some type of stupid thing thrown in without a hologram, without a TV monitor? They said that monitor was under the ring just in case. I heard they keep a monitor under the ring for people who are under the ring to follow what's going on. Whatever. That was TLC. Tribute to the Troops aired last night. The Usos defeated Stardust and Goldust. John Cena and Hulk Hogan came out to hype the show and be pro-America. Naomi, Emma, and Natalya defeated Paige and the Bella Twins in a Christmas-themed match. Dean Ambrose defeated Bray Wyatt in a no-disqualification match. And in your final match, which was pretty much a Team Cena and Team Authority rematch without Henry or Rusev, you had Hulk Hogan coming out to cheer on John Cena, Eric Rowan, Ziggler, and Ryback as they defeated Seth Rollins, Kane, Big Show, and Luke Harper. And you had the horrible, stupid-ass band, Florida Georgia Line, who clearly does not know what the hell's going on, close out with a shitty concert. And that was it for Tribute to the Troops and a quick rundown of TLC, Cage of Death, NXT TakeOver, R Evolution, Ring of Honor. There you go, you got it all. So with that, we will take our first commercial break, and we'll be back with a very special song and Rage to talk about much, much more. Stick around, folks. Enjoying what you hear so far? Want to hear more of the Rexplex week after week? Send us feedback at TheRexplex@gmail.com. Tweet us at TheRexplex. Or join the Facebook group page at www.facebook.com/TheRexplex. Everybody, welcome back to the show. This is Rex, of course. This is the Rexplex. I just wanted to say once again, make sure you follow us on Twitter at the Rexplex, like us on Facebook, and join the group page. Just search the Rexplex on Facebook. It's a lot of fun discussion and interesting conversation, and I only plan on expanding it more. And email any questions you might have or comments or anything else to TheRexplex@gmail.com. Okay, I put on the Rant EM group page on Facebook that we will do a custom song based on the most obscure wrestler. We got some good ones in there like RoboCop and Freight Train. But the winner for this one is Lewis F. from Facebook, from the group page. And he picked Balls Mahoney. So here it is, everyone, a Rexplex original, The Ballad of Balls Mahoney.
Dirty hair, missing teeth, hit with chairs till you couldn't breathe. Chairs on your freak, and I gotta believe you can let the rest of you be out on the street. Balls Mahoney, Balls Mahoney, both the dirty rock, probably smell like a cologne. Up in the ring, didn't care, probably got puke in Martin's hair. Doing chairs on your freak, and I gotta believe you can never ever rest of you be out on the street. Balls Mahoney, Balls Mahoney, both the dirty rock, probably smell like a cologne.
Folks, The Ballad of Balls Mahoney, conducted, composed, written, and performed by yours truly and Gorilla Pete, who will soon be on this show. Sometime, we're going to talk some 90s WWF on this show. If you want a song, just send me requests for wrestlers. We will have this every week if it is possible. You can't force creativity, but I had a fun time doing that song with Gorilla Pete. And with that, I would like to bring my guest on the line for the rest of the program. They will be joining me. First of all, Lexi V. Lexi V, say hi.
Oh, hi.
And my other guest joining me at this time is going to be this guy.
Who would it be? Who would
Please don't mind the sirens in the background. You already know the situation. Of course, there's always sirens in the background as soon as you get on. So, do you want to talk about anything from Raw at all?
Did anything really happen on Raw?
Not really. It was Big Show and Luke Harper defeated Dolph Ziggler, Eric Rowan, Natalya, and Alicia Fox.
WWE week sucks. I just say that.
It does suck.
Like, everything about WWE week, I'm not bashing Tribute to the Troops. You know, there's no reason for me to bash that show.
Yeah, it's a good cause.
Yeah. But Raw is on Monday. We all know Raw should be better. Then you got Super SmackDown on Tuesday. Don't mind him, that's my nephew.
Yeah, it's alright.
So, you have Super SmackDown on Tuesday. And that just so happens to be the 800th episode, and it's a live episode. The only live episode of 2014.
Yeah, we talked about that a couple days ago.
Which doesn't make any sense at all. I mean, again, that's your 800th show. That's a milestone. And they didn't even bother skimming the fact that it's that milestone. They didn't even acknowledge it.
No, they didn't. I didn't realize that until AA had mentioned it to me about a week ago.
Until, you know, that just shows how much they don't give a shit. about SmackDown.
Yeah, they really don't. Ever since they pretty much made it to where there was no more brand split, SmackDown is just, it's just there. It's like a practice show for Raw.
By the way, totally off topic, she asks me where am I?
Oh my goodness.
But anyway.
Do you even want to get into that?
I'm not even, no.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it shows so much they don't care about SmackDown. Like, a lot of people disagree with me on this. I believe SmackDown, there should be some live episodes of SmackDown. Since they're not going to do it, since I get that, you know, taped on Tuesday, and it's on Friday, well, it's going to move to Thursday soon. Like, I think there should be some live SmackDowns.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Know? This shouldn't be the only one that they've done all year.
It'll show some importance to the show.
Because what WWE is doing, when they're putting this across to the show where it feels like they don't care about SmackDown, that feeling is just going to transfer to the fans, and they're going to feel like, well, if the company doesn't give a shit about this show, why should I? You know what I mean? And that's
exactly.
That's, yeah. So,
and I also think Tribute to the Troops should be live.
If they can, they can't pull that off. But that would be cool. I think that would be a good thing.
I think it would be cool too. Like, and it's not like a, and it's more of like a, and you know what? I don't even think the show should be on like Christmas. I think it should be on July the 4th.
Oh, you know? Definitely. That's a much better idea.
Yeah, because, you know, it's not really a Christmas, it's not really like a Christmas show anymore like it was back around 2005, 2006, 2007.
Yeah.
So it should be on the 4th of July. Anything else? We all know NXT Revolution beat the shit out of TLC. We already know that.
Yeah, that's how what we're going to talk about is how they said that they're going to rise to the occasion for TLC, and I think there was only one match that you could say that about that happened on TLC, and that was the first match. Other than that, I mean, that TLC bored me. It made me...
Oh, it bored the shit up. Especially the ending of that show.
I haven't heard one person say anything positive about the ending of that show. Of fucking Dean Ambrose loses to a plasma screen.
A fucking screen blows up in the guy's face. That's how you end the last pay-per-view of the year. That's beyond pathetic.
But, I mean, the computer might as well made a run in. So, switching topics, what do you think about Grandma's pictures? Okay, to preface this for the people that are listening, Rage and I just made a discovery of some of Sonny's Skype pictures.
Oh my god. Oh, good lord. So,
she looks like a grandmother.
Sonny. That woman has let herself go big time.
She's let
you can see it in her face.
Except, yeah, you can see it in her face. She doesn't look like she cares. Her tits held up at least, but
her tits are fine. Her ass is, you know, her ass is, it's decent, but her face, like she looks like a grandma. She just... Sonny is not Sonny anymore. She's not by... Like... At least Lita still looks sexy.
Yes.
At least Trish Stratus, even after the birth of her kid...
Yeah, Trish Stratus
is still
hot. She still
looks sexy.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of retired female wrestlers, for the most part, you know, they still look good, right? It's not Sonny.
what the grossest thing about this is she is sticking her middle finger in her butt.
Oh, yeah. She's got it all up in the ass. All in the ass.
And then she's wearing this necklace that I think like 70-year-old ladies would wear to church. And after sticking her finger in her butt, she's got her finger in her mouth. So whoever this freak was who did this Skype call wanted her to taste her own poop.
I'm not a supporter or I'm not a supporter of ass sex. I think anal sex is gross.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
I especially find the motion of, you know, of women, like, taking objects or their fingers and putting it in their mouth after they dug in their ass with it.
Yeah, man, you can get diseases like that.
That's disgusting. It's foul. I don't support it.
Okay, speaking of foul, Pat Robertson, on his show, The 700 Club, yesterday, he spoke to a caller who said that her church doesn't allow members to date, leaving her and her friends frustrated because we're getting older and no one is married. Robertson was shocked to hear her predicament, but his take on this was, quote, "You know, those who are homosexual will die out because they don't reproduce." He said, "You have to have heterosexual sex to reproduce. Same thing with that church. It's doomed. It's going to die out because it's the most nonsensical thing I've heard in a long time." So the quote, you can quote me when I said that shit that he said is one of the most nonsensical things I've heard in a long time. How do you feel about this?
Face palm.
Man, I've had beef with him ever since he said the reason that Hurricane Katrina happened was because God was angry with New Orleans because there's so much debauchery, drinking, and homosexuality in the city that Hurricane Katrina happened because God wanted to wipe us out.
Who was saying this?
Pat Robertson.
Oh, that old fucking... The TV guy, the televangelist?
Yeah, the one who said that homosexuals will die because they don't reproduce.
Oh, yeah. He wants homosexuals to be totally eradicated, extinct, and...
So what he's basically saying is the way you give birth to a gay person is by having two homosexuals reproduce. And since they can't do that, they'll go extinct. Then where did
ladies and gentlemen, this is why I'm atheist. This here is why I'm atheist.
He's all about money, and he preaches hate. Everyone's entitled to their own opinion and their own religious beliefs, but when you say God did this for this to happen, or God wanted to kill this person, it's complete nonsense.
This is why I'm atheist. It's like, I just can't stand how, you know, people like that, you know, have like such a freedom to talk and just say like such outlandish shit like that. And people listen to that shit.
And they take it as gospel. They take it as gospel from him because they've been listening to him for so long. He goes on the air every day.
Putting so much money into that and putting so much of their own hard-earned money into that fuckhead. Like,
He spews a lot of hatred and a lot of horrible things only to gain money. He's using religion and he's playing off of people's faith to increase the size of his own pockets.
It's pathetic. It's really pathetic. I, people like that really just have to, like, just die. I'm sorry. Like, there's no other way to put it. They have to die.
Yeah, but it's completely unnecessary.
Like, I say this all the time. Who are you? Who are you to judge how another person lives? Like, you can't, like, you really can't be that insensitive and just tell homosexuals that you can't marry, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't buy cereal at the supermarket, you can't eat in the same restaurant and this and that and bullshit. Like, it's just, like, it's just...
It's everyone should be entitled to their own beliefs, their own freedoms. No one should be told what to think and what to eat and what to wear. No one should be able to just shove their ideas down someone else's ears. Like you said about the Mormons, for instance, they will approach you and try to get as personal as they can with you and force their ideas on you.
It's just
oh man, it's getting crazy. Bring up the Mormons and everyone flips out.
Oh yeah. That's a good story. So yesterday, while I was waiting on the girl, I was approached by two Mormons.
On bikes?
And they were not on bikes, they were on foot. One was white, one was Hispanic. And you know, they seem like such nice guys, but then I had to listen to everything that they had to do to be a Mormon, to become a part of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
To become elders.
To become elders. Like, one of the rules is that, like, we were talking about movies, and he told me that he can't watch, like, horror films. He can't watch horror films while he's, like, in, like, while he's a part of this cult that I like to call it. It's cult.
Yeah, it's more like a cult than anything.
Then he started talking about all the rules to it, and, like, as he's talking about it, I'm just, like, as he's explaining this, I'm like, you sorry motherfucker. Like, how can you personally allow this?
It's so science fiction. It's based off of a guy telling people he found a book in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And then he just lays out all these beliefs, and that's what Mormonism is based off of.
Yeah, like, and then I asked him, like, is it true that Mormons, that, like, male Mormons have more than one wife, and he told me it wasn't true, but I, for some reason, I think he's lying. Like, I really think it's true. I mean, and really, that's not fair. Like, we, like, regular men like me have to work their asses off of trying to obtain a good girlfriend, while these Mormons get all the pussy, as much pussy as they want. It's not fair.
Well, it was in that book that they found on the ground.
Totally not fair.
So they can, women can be forced into marriage.
Mm-hmm. They can be forced, yeah. And the women allow themselves to be, to be trapped in a cult and have their rights and morals just vanquished from them. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's I believe in fair treatment of women, and that's pretty messed up. It's not fair. All right, now jump back to wrestling. WWE is advertising Hulk Hogan, Kevin Nash, Scott Hall, and Shawn Michaels for the January 19th edition of Raw, which is the Royal Rumble Go Home Show.
Not bad.
Yeah, that should be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be nice. You got the whole Hogan and all or most of the Click, you know, Triple H.
Yeah, Click.
So, you know, I don't.
Del Rio will be wrestling. I already mentioned earlier he's going to be taking on Christopher Daniels and ROH. And then on Friday, January 30th, in Dearborn, Michigan, he'll be taking on ACH. How do you feel Alberto Del Rio will do in ROH?
He'll flourish in ROH.
I think so. I think he's going to do more things. He's going to do stuff that we never got to see him do in WWE.
Yeah, because a lot of indies, when they get to NXT and WWE, they get watered down like crazy. So
yeah,
Del Rio will really get to flourish in ROH.
The only person I've seen who didn't have their finisher taken away in NXT was Adrian Neville. But everyone else had their finishers taken away and changed.
Yeah.
I said I wasn't going to talk about CM Punk anymore, but he was on SportsCenter last night. He talked mostly about
it. Oh, fuck, and I missed it?
Yeah, he brought up his 90-minute match with Chris Hero as an example of marathon matches while talking about hockey, but it was mostly about UFC.
That sucks.
And he's going to be on Off the Record tonight on TSN, which is in Canada, with Michael Landsberg. I don't know what time exactly, but that's... If you've never seen Off the Record with Landsberg, he is in your face, no punches pulled type. There's a lot of his interviews and episodes on YouTube. I think some with Paul Heyman and some with Vince McMahon. Maybe Foley, a few others.
I think ESPN is getting really desperate with celebrities now.
Yeah, they are.
Because they had Chris Rock on. They had Nicki Minaj on.
Yeah, that was odd. Nicki Minaj on there.
That was so out of place to me. Like Nicki Minaj on SportsCenter. Like that is just like eyebrow raising, and I can only imagine how many of those SportsCenter anchors are like staring at her ass.
Yes. I mean, and the closest she's gotten to sports is no, I'm not even gonna go there.
You already open it up.
So just letting basketball stars, letting them inside. That's our experience with sports.
Nikki let basketball players in there?
I'm pretty sure from what I've been told.
That's some shit.
And also, speaking of booties, I talked about this earlier, but Rikishi released a video calling out Kim Kardashian to a booty contest.
Oh my god. Oh my god, Rikishi.
Is he trying to stay relevant?
What is he gonna twerk?
Yeah, I think at Royal Rumble, what's gonna happen is there's gonna be a twerk off with him and Kardashian.
Can twerking can the whole fad of twerking just like stop?
Yeah, I hate it. I hate the term. I hate
like it started like it started in like the blackest schools in America.
It started down here. It started in New Orleans. It was a making your booty butt like this, and now anytime someone just dances and shakes their ass on, especially on Raw, you'll hear King or JBL. Oh, he's twerking. The bunny's twerking. El Torito's twerking.
It's like, I'm sorry, but when white men talk about twerking, like when that shit just starts happening, then like that's when the fat has to end.
That's like when I hear like a white dude describing what the word ratchet means.
Oh god.
It's like this is so
I think we're getting there. I think we're getting there.
So cringeworthy.
We're getting there. I think enough of these white men watch Love and Hip Hop and Basketball Wives and all that stupid shit.
I don't want this to happen. It's embarrassing for everybody involved.
Oh yeah. It really sets us back. It sets us back so far.
Vince, Big Show, and R-Truth are in Kuwait doing promotional work.
In Kuwait?
I have no idea why they're there or what that entails, or
Do they really want to be in Kuwait right now?
I don't know why the hell they're in Kuwait right now, but that's what the word is. These are the notes my imaginary producers give me. I just speak on them.
Do they really want to be in Kuwait right now?
They're there. They are there right now.
I hope they got a bulletproof vest.
There's a very interesting documentary on the former Prince Devitt, now known as Finn Balor, and NXT that you can watch if you go to www.rte.ie.
RTE.ie.
It's a very weird URL, but you can find it on there. If you want to know a little bit more about his background, you can check that out. TNA is looking to enact a new no blood policy as a part of its rebrand.
Oh, now I'm not watching TNA anymore. Fuck that.
How do you feel about that?
Fuck that. I'm not watching TNA anymore then.
No more Monsters
TNA,
Ball.
TNA is getting PG on me now?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Alright.
A new no blood policy as soon as they start on Destination America.
Sicario, you can really go fuck yourself.
They're planning to have a new look in every way, from the images and logos. Josh Matthews will be the new voice of Impact.
Oh my god.
The images and logos and the promotional work I've seen so far doesn't look that good at all.
Not really.
And the first person they show in the commercial is Kurt Angle. I don't think he's in shape to be wrestling. We'll see what happens with all that shit. But yeah, no more blood. Kurt Angle is the future. Kurt Angle and Jeff Hardy. And they have some crappy looking new logos.
Yeah, the new logo is really sci-fi-ish. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. This is like, all of a sudden, TNA's getting PG on me. I am so done with TNA.
I mean, I don't even, you have the channel. I don't even have the channel.
Yeah, I don't watch jack shit on Destination America. It's pretty much like a second travel channel.
Yeah, I really wanted to see that redneck blood swamp show. I forgot what it was. I was joking about it before. I don't really want to see. This is ridiculous that you're going to see TNA and then you're going to see redneck blood and swamp monsters.
Oh my god, there is too many. Speaking of rednecks, like, can we stop with the exploitation of rednecks?
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. Too many.
I thought Duck Dynasty was one thing, and then I looked at Destination America's programming schedule, and that shit blew Duck Dynasty out the water with how much redneckery is on that.
You know, Duck Dynasty is fake. You know those guys.
Yeah, those dudes are all rich. They live on the beach and everything. It's a big work.
They're a bunch of preppy motherfuckers. Sweater around the neck motherfuckers.
Yes, they're definitely sweater around the neck types. It's all a big work. It's all an act. I have one more note on wrestling, and that is Rolling Stone magazine announced who their wrestler of the year is.
Such garbage.
What, do you know this? Rolling Stone magazine. Rolling Stone magazine announced the wrestler of the year.
They have a wrestler of the year award?
I didn't know this until I just read this morning.
Who is it?
The award goes to Dolph Ziggler.
Not a bad choice.
No, it's a good choice, and they gave good reasoning. I'll read the quote real quick. Despite his sideline as a stand-up comedian, Ziggler's only real weakness may be commanding the crowd with a microphone in his hand, but that charisma could well evolve in 2015 as he strikes a balance between bestowed appeal and earned braggadocio. Nitpicks aside, no other sports entertainer reaching that large an audience over the past 300-plus days delivered so tirelessly and unselfishly making everyone around him look better while blue streaking his own prestige out of mushy mid-card status. And for that, this former male cheerleader is our 2014 Wrestler of the Year and someone we'll be rooting for as he enters the peak of his career.
Yeah, like give him a belt, give him a better title reign than he had.
Yeah. I hope they're right. Props to Rolling Stone, though. That's cool.
Like, that is, like, you don't get no bigger than that to me. Rolling Stone is talking about a mid-carder. And WB's probably not even going to listen.
And by the way, this article was written, you could tell they definitely knew what they were talking about.
No, they knew just what the hell they were talking about.
Former male cheerleader, 300-plus days, delivered tirelessly and making everyone around him look better.
What was his name in the Spear Squad?
Nikki.
Yeah.
He is Nick Nemeth. And apparently he's very athletic in bed, according to Amy Schumer.
Amy Schumer fucked off Ziggler.
Yeah, wow. They're actually making a movie about, it's loosely based on Amy Schumer's life. And from what I've heard, John Cena is going to play the part of Dolph Ziggler. I'm serious. This is 100% true.
What?
Yeah, this is true.
Do you think he can do that?
I think that's hilarious. I'm just imagining what their backstage talk is while Cena prepares for the role between him and Ziggler.
I'm sorry. Is this girl really getting angry at me? Because I left.
It's her fault. It's her fault, dude. She missed out.
Whatever. But like, yeah, Cena. I don't think Cena could pull off Dolph Ziggler. Come on.
In a movie?
Yeah.
It's going to be loosely based, so it's just going to be the wrestler that she dated. That's Dolph Ziggler. And Cena's going to have to be funny in this movie. I think if Judd Apatow is writing this, so it should be funny.
I want to see Cena in an R-rated comedy.
You're probably going to pretty soon.
I hope. Like, I want to see him in a straight up... I don't want to see him in, like, a buddy cop movie, because I think we've seen too many of those. Not a lot of them have been good. Like, I want to see him in, like... I'm trying to think of an example.
Zach McAporno?
Something like that. I want to see him in a really dirty, rated R sort of comedy.
I mean, maybe he'd be hilarious. He'd be really funny in a comedy, and that the comedy that he tries on Raw is not going to be the same. Yeah, I'd like to see him do some of that X-rated type comedy. Not X-rated necessarily, even R-rated.
As long as the movie isn't produced by WWE of ours.
That's actually what he wants. He wants to be in more legitimate movies, not WWE pictures.
Yeah, because all of them suck.
Yeah, they all suck.
Yep.
And speaking of that, nice transition. Sony Pictures has canceled the release of The Interview with James Franco and Seth Rogen.
Son of a bitch.
Yep. It's 100% official and confirmed.
Oh, I read the reports. Like this country is getting really soft now. So it takes like terror alerts, like terror, like threats, and like 9/11 like threats to cease free speech and free expression. Like, that's pussy shit. Like, I'm sorry, but that's totally pussifying this country.
Yeah, how weak are we as a country that we're scared North Korea might attack us over a movie that we have that we would actually cancel? Sony Pictures would cancel the release of this. I saw so many. Over the past few days, I've seen the trailer on, and the commercials for it and everything. It's playing nonstop on Comedy Central.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be released. I'm still going to find a way to see the damn movie.
Like, are we really scared of Kim Jong-il's son? I'm not.
Well, the thing is, Kim Jong-il's favorite thing in the world is American movies.
Yeah.
And so I guess...
And so I'm supposed to be scared of his son, Kim Jong-un. I'm supposed to be scared of him.
The scariest thing he's done so far is make that Gangnam Style video.
Bullshit. That's racist.
I'm sorry.
Oops. That's so racist.
Well, man, they canceled the damn movie. Yeah, it's not racist.
That is kind of fucked. That is fucked up. And that's yet another black guy on Sony.
Yeah, that's true.
With all the hacking and shit that's been going on.
So, did you watch the Colbert Report on Tuesday?
I missed it. I caught the last few seconds of it. I know I heard that was his last show before moving to the late show.
Actually, his last show is tonight.
It is?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
What did you think of Kendrick Lamar?
Oh, my God, it was fantastic. He just proved, just from that little song, he proved to me why he's the best rapper today.
Yeah, man, his voice is great. He has a great flow.
A great energy, man.
Yeah, his energy is awesome.
I like an angry tone of rap.
Yeah.
And he brings it.
That
dude is talented.
There's a certain cadence he goes to at some points where it's one song where he's just like doop doop boop boop. Like he'll make those noises. They're not necessarily words, but the aggression translates well, and then he flows so smoothly. So you take back some of the hate you had for him about a month ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have
you ever heard?
Yeah.
Danny Brown is another awesome rapper right now.
I haven't heard Danny Brown.
I'll send you some Danny Brown. He's pretty sick.
Like, I'm very critical of rap nowadays because mostly all of it now just sounds the same. It's all about money, bitches, pussy, weed, and all that shit. It all sounds the same, so I am very critical of rap, so.
Yeah, I am too, as I've been rapping for, my whole life, so I'm very harsh critic, and I really rarely rap about any of that stuff. I usually rap about something compelling or something that makes sense, or sometimes I'll go far out and have some really deep lyrics, but I don't stick to the same three topics for an entire album or make all my singles about the same damn thing. But yeah, the final episode of Colbert Report is tonight, and his final guest will be the Grim Reaper.
Can I say that I'm glad that Lil Wayne is retiring?
I hope so.
I'm glad. Lil Wayne was
good when he was 16 around here. He was one of the hottest acts in the city. And then he got so lazy to where his lyrics were just I get high like a balloon. You'll be low like the ground. It was like, oh, all right, man. Wrap it up, please.
I just can't deal with it. I just can't deal with him anymore. He has to go. Just corny. Especially, and Drake is starting to get that way, too.
Yeah, Drake's getting that way, too, yeah. Drake had some really good verses before he got signed.
Oh, he was so much better as an independent talent.
Yeah, definitely.
Cash Money just should have not have been a place to go. If it were me, I would have signed in the Shady Aftermath.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I would definitely pick Shady Aftermath over Cash Money.
Yeah.
Cash Money is getting carried away. They signed Limp Bizkit. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
a year ago. You don't remember? They had the song. It was on. It was for one of the pay per views, and it was they had Fred.
Oh, yeah, that. Yeah, yeah.
You remember? And it was Limp Bizkit and Fred Durst rapping on the same track.
No, I heard they saw Paris Hilton.
Oh yeah, that too. They. I don't know what the hell she's going to fucking do with her.
Cash money. Limp Bizkit. Oh, it's like signing. Like, remember, like, you remember Vanessa Carlton?
Yeah.
Remember when Ja Rule signed her to Murder, Inc.?
Yeah, that's the equivalent of that.
And next thing, and I fucking love Vanessa Carlton. I love Vanessa Carlton to this day. I have all of her albums on my phone.
That's right.
But
be proud.
She ain't doing it anymore. Yeah, I'm fucking proud of her. Fucking love her. And she don't do anything anymore. Right? It was all after she signed with Murder, Inc.
If it wasn't for her, the best part in the movie White Chicks wouldn't have been possible.
Now, here's the thing about that. It's good you brought that up. I think I'm tired of black people liking that song only because of that movie.
Oh, no, that's not what I didn't mean it like that.
No. I'm just saying, like, people don't even know who she is. But as soon as they hear that song and they start singing it, and then I have to ask them, like, how do you know that song? It was like, and then they tell me White Chicks. I'm like, okay, all right.
Yeah. You got to sit down for a second.
It's like, I get annoyed by that. It's like, okay, that's Vanessa Carlton. Is that the only Vanessa Carlton song you like? Yup. Okay.
Of course. Of course that's the answer you're going to get.
You haven't heard Spring Street or Ordinary Day or White Houses, you know, Sweat, anything, like, you know, you haven't heard those? Nope? Okay. I waive you your rights to listen to that song.
All right, I'm about to wrap this show up a little early.
Yeah.
It's been a good show. Tomorrow, live Friday, December 19th at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, make sure you listen to Turnbuckle Throwbacks episode 100. Also, next week, there's going to be On the Rexplex, the year in review, and I'm going to have several special guests on. More on that as the days go by. You can follow on Twitter at The Rexplex, like us on Facebook, and join the group page. Just search The Rexplex. Rage, do you want to plug yourself? Got anything to promote?
Hit up the Instagram at Black Skinhead. Hit up the Twitter at Philo Sarcasm. Tune into the call-in show Saturday nights at 11. I will be this. I'm gonna tell you right now that 2015. I'm gonna be doing a lot on the network.
Oh, I know that.
I'm not gonna tell you. I'm not gonna tell anybody now what's gonna happen because things are still being, you know, ironed out. But yeah, Rage will have his thumbprint all over 2015 on this network. So.
Yeah, you told me you're gonna be picking it up.
Just stay tuned, folks.
I think we're all going to be picking it up in 2015. The Rant is going to be exciting. Rant EM Radio is going to be exciting. It's going to be a good year.
Oh, yeah.
And AA has a... He's taken a good, a well-deserved vacation.
Yes, he did. I pissed that man off enough this year. He needs a
break. Yeah, man, based on the shit you've done to him alone.
I fucked with AA enough to this year. He deserves a break. He needs a vacation. I'm not going to stop fucking with Surf at all.
So I want to thank everyone for listening to this episode of The Rexplex. Stay positive. Take care of yourself and someone else. If wrestling is shitty, that doesn't mean you have to feel shitty along with it. Just go with the ride. Enjoy all the shows here on RantEMRadio.com. As I said earlier, there will be a year-in-review Rexplex next week. That's pretty much all that we have to say for the Rexplex. Thank you again, Rage.
No problem, no problem.
And we will see everyone next week. Have a good night, everybody.
Cause I never dug disco.
Disco.